Well, today we're going to look at the blessed to be a blessing. I told you last week that you are blessed. You're a blessed people of God. Sometimes you may not feel blessed. Sometimes you may feel like, man, I wish I could feel that. Well, if you would just look around you, maybe even look in your home, look at your home, look at the vehicle you drive, look at the clothes you wear. You are a blessed people. Okay, you are a blessed people. I shared last week with you that God wants to, his desire is, his heart is to bless his children. That's what he wants to do. He's the covenant maker God. He's the God Jehovah. He's God Yahweh, and he wants to bless his children. If you didn't hear that message, I want to encourage you to go to our website, lifechangefellowship.com, and listen to that message, because I think it will encourage you. I think it will bless you if you will listen to that. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Father wants to bless you. And now tell them, Father wants to bless me. Sometimes it's easier to understand that God wants to bless others, but sometimes we don't get that for ourselves. But I want you to know that that's the Father's heart, is to bless you. So let's look again at that passage in Numbers chapter 6. Why don't you stand together for the reading of God's word? It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Wonderful passage of scripture. You may be seated for a moment. Then we're going to jump back up here in a second, because that's not our focal text this morning, but I just wanted to remind you that the Lord wants to bless you. These are the blessings the Lord has spoken over us. These are the blessings the Lord has spoken to us. But here's the deal. You are blessed to be a blessing. Okay? You're not blessed just to hoard all the blessings for yourselves. You're blessed to be a blessing. God has blessed you, but for the very purpose so that you can bless other people. Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord spoke to him. He said to Abram, leave your country, leave your family, and go to a place that I'll show you when you get there. So Abraham left his family. He left his country. And in Genesis chapter 12, it reads, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, go away from your family, get out of your father's house to a land I'm going to show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to take out a little side note right now and just kind of mention this idea that God says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. That's why it's so important that we elect government officials who want to bless Israel rather than curse them. Because if we bless Israel, guess what's going to happen to us? God's going to bless us. If we curse Israel, guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to be cursed. I don't like being cursed. Okay? So I want to encourage you, vote for those individuals who want to bless Israel and not curse them. It's very important for your good being, for your well-being. It's very important. So that was just a side note, but now let's get back to our text, okay? So Abraham was blessed by God, not for Abraham's sake alone, but for the sake of the world. Look again in verse 3, it says, "And in you, all of the world, all of the earth will be blessed." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be fantastic if God looked upon you and I and said, "Life change, I want to bless you so that the whole earth can be blessed." Wouldn't that be wonderful? If he looked upon us and said those very words, man, wouldn't that be, man, bring it on. Bring it on. So did you know that in recent years that many of the medical breakthroughs and other breakthroughs that have come about has come about because of Israel and their ingenuity. They developed a laser that can shatter kidney stones without surgery. Did you know that it was Israel that did that? And not only that, but they also developed a wearable exoskeleton so that those who have paralysis can walk. Isn't that phenomenal? Not only that, but they developed a way that bones can be grown from a patient's fat cells. Isn't that crazy? They've also developed a handheld ultrasound machine so that if a mother at home can do an ultrasound using her smartphone. Isn't that incredible? Life-saving products such as a wound clot bandages help compress and clot large wounds, allowing more time to get the patient to a hospital. And they're using these in the military now, these wound clot. And it's just a phenomenal medical breakthrough because it saves lives. Again, so Israel, when they developed these things, they didn't just keep them to themselves. They could have, but they're allowing the world to experience the blessings. And did you know that it's God who gave them this ingenuity? It's not their own. It's God who gave that to them. And I believe it has a lot to do with the promises that Abraham received way back thousands of years ago. You are blessed to be a blessing. He was told Abraham. He told Israel, "You are blessed to be a blessing." You may not be aware of it because it's not really known on the mainstream media, but anytime there's a world catastrophe or an emergency, the Israelis are one of the first to get to that area to help. Also, there are many in various third world countries who are experiencing some wonderful things that Israel has given to them. For instance, Israel developed a device that draws water out of the air. And they can turn a desert into a farmland using this system. And so they're sharing this with these third world countries, even countries who are opposed to them. They're sharing this with other countries to help them, to develop them, to help, because people need clean food, they need good food, and they need clean water. And Israel is developing and manufacturing these things, not just for themselves, but so that they can help other people. It's amazing the things that they're able to do. They've also developed a bag. Let me see if I can. Grain Pro bags, which they store food in that resists rot and mildew. Pretty incredible. Also at Hadassah Hospital, they've developed what's called the Da Vinci robot, which is so precise it can perform brain and spinal surgery with minimally invasive procedure. Isn't that amazing? God is just giving them one thing after another thing after another, not only to bless them, but to bless the nations. You're familiar with the drip system, whereby you, rather than if you've got a garden or whatever, rather than trying to irrigate the whole land, you just irrigate the plant. Drip it. Well, they developed that in 1965. And on we could go. You can Google it yourself. Okay? It's pretty incredible the things that they've developed. God told Abraham thousands of years ago, I'm going to make you a blessing so you can bless others. And while these things that I've mentioned are pretty incredible, there's a couple of things that has come through the Israelis that are remarkable. One is, did you know that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God? We would not have the word of God if it were not for the Jews. Every prophet came through the Jewish line. It did not come from Iran. It did not come from America. It did not come from any other country or any other nation. It came only through the Hebrews, the Jewish line. Every word written in this scripture is from the Israelis, it's from the Jews, because God gave them his oracles and so that they could put it in print and give it to us. They're blessed to be a blessing. If you have a Bible in your home, you are blessed. I would encourage you to read it. And then you will be really blessed. God has blessed Israel so that he could bless us. Now, there's one author, there's a little, they don't know whether Luke was Gentile or Jew. There's a little, but regardless, God's word came through the Jewish nation. God's word came because Abraham was blessed, and we now are blessed because of that. And the second thing I want to mention is that Jesus came through the Jews. Okay? Jesus came through the Jews. He didn't come from any other nation. He came through the Jews. And what a blessing it is to have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It was through Abraham that occurred. Because when we receive Christ, there's a lot of blessings that come with him. I mean, there's an armload, a truckload, a dump truckload of blessings that come when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You get the Holy Spirit. You're forgiven of all your sins. Whew, praise the Lord. You have eternal life in heaven. You're transformed. There's something that happens when you receive Christ. That all came through Abraham. And did you know, and I want to get back to the word just a second. Did you know that there somehow God chose the Israelites not only to be the prophets, but he also chose scribes to write it down letter by letter, word by word, dot by dot, so that it would be without error for thousands of years. Every generation, there was a scribe or several scribes, many scribes, who would write the word of God. That was their whole job. They go to work, and they take out their pen. They start writing the word of God, letter by letter, word by word, dot by dot. Then someone would look it over, and if there was any mistakes, they would throw it away. Start over. Incredible. That's when you remember the Dead Sea Scrolls? That was just found recently and near the Dead Sea. And they, it's still word by word, dot by dot. Incredible. And God blessed the Israelites with not only the ability, but the desire to get everything just perfect. Isn't that crazy? God blessed them to bless us. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. His descendants were blessed to be a blessing. Did you know that you may not be a physical descendant of Abraham, but if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a descendant by faith of Abraham? Look at Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. It says, "It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there's no transgression. Therefore," and this is the passage that we need to focus on, "the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." So if you're a child of God, you are a descendant of Abraham by faith. And because you're a descendant of Abraham by faith, then those blessings fall on you. The blessings that the Lord had announced over Abraham, announced over the Israelites, those blessings are now yours. They've not been transferred. They've just been passed down. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Scripture says, "And Jesus came to his disciples. And he said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Can there ever be a greater blessing than receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? To have an assurance of spending eternity with Jesus. There can never be. The Holy Spirit comes into your life when you receive Christ to fill you, to guide you, to help you, to comfort you. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great and marvelous blessing that is. It's interesting, almost every week I read of someone, a Christian artist, a Christian minister, someone, a musician, who for some reason decides that they're not any longer going to serve Christ. They found a different way. They found a different path. But I don't understand that. Because if they received what I received when I received Christ, there's no turning back. I don't want what the world has to offer. I don't want what some other religion has to offer. Are there some things in Scripture I don't understand? Yes. And that's not the problems I have. The problems I have are the Scripture that I do understand. And so some people, because they don't understand all the Scripture, they decide they're just going to leave Jesus. And I would just say, if they're leaving Jesus, they never had him to start with. Because once you have Christ, there's nobody else, there's nothing else that will satisfy. Peter says it this way, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." A pretty gross picture. Have you ever seen a dog return to its vomit? If you've got a dog, you have. It's pretty nasty. Okay? Pretty nasty. They go and lick up their vomit, and it's gross. Okay? But then he talks about a pig as well. Do you remember Green Acres? 1960s. I know some of you did. Not all of you may. But in Green Acres, the farmer had a pet pig called Arnold. And they would show Arnold every now and then. He was never in the pig pen. He was on a recliner watching TV. Okay. Now, I guarantee you. And now I'm sure they just like they do at the fair here, they wash the pigs up, you know, and get them all pretty. And Arnold had a bow on his neck, you know. And man, he was a good looking pig. I think I would have eaten him. But they wash him up and they get him ready for the show. And man, he was a nice looking pig. But I guarantee you, as soon as that show was over, if he had the opportunity, he'd go back to the mud hole. These pigs that go to the fair, all cleaned up, ready for first prize, as soon as they release them, I know they're going to go right back to the pig pen because that's their nature. It's their nature. And that's what Peter is saying here. If a person comes to Christ and goes back to the pig pen, they really never were transformed. It was their nature to be all along. When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your nature changes. You don't want to go there anymore. If you go back and stay there and denounce Christ, it's because your nature never changed. You've got the same old nature you always had. You're just like a dog licking its vomit, just like a pig going to the mud hole. Nothing can compare to the blessings of Christ. That's why the torch has been passed to us. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When you receive power, you will be my witnesses in Tillamook, in Oregon, in the United States, and around the world. You will be a blessing to the world. So here's what I want to ask you to do. This is a new year. Is there one person that you can influence for Christ this year? And I know we've got a lot of stuff going on. But sometimes all the stuff going on distracts us from being a blessing to those that we need to be a blessing to. And it's just the enemy's way to keep us from doing what God told us to do. So I want to ask you, is there one person this year that you can influence for Christ? Now, sometimes it takes more than a year, okay? but at least you can maybe get them closer. A Christian's goal is not just to do good deeds for people. Our goal is somehow move people closer to making a decision for Jesus Christ. That's our goal. I have watched a movie some time ago called Pay It Forward. You probably remember that movie. It's a good family movie. It's a good idea where this, I think they're probably sixth graders in social studies class, and their social studies teacher asks them, what can you do? I want you to come up with an idea that will change the world. And one of these sixth graders thought, well, I'll do this. I'll start doing good for people and then tell them to pay it forward. And they can do it good for people, and they can do good for people, and that will change the world. Well, you go through, you know, you watch the movie and somebody was paying forward and gave someone else a Jaguar. Okay. Like, that's pretty nice. But do you know that doesn't transform the heart? You can pay it forward and you can do good deeds, but there's nothing that can transform the heart except Jesus Christ. If all we have is the social gospel, and all we're doing is good deeds for people, and we provide food, we provide clothing, we provide shelter, but we don't provide Jesus, then they're going to go to hell with a full belly, warm, with a home they're leaving to somebody else. Okay, so I'm not saying don't benefit others with your worldly goods. What I'm saying is make sure you share Jesus when you do that. So what are the steps? Real quickly. Ask Father to show you the one. Who are you going to influence for Christ this year? Ask Father to show you the one. It might be someone you meet in the coffee shop. It might be the most obnoxious person that you know. But ask him to show you the one and pray for the one. Pray for the one. When you find the one, ask Father to show you how to be a blessing to them. Who are your friends? Do they know Christ? Do you have any friends? Hopefully. If you don't, there is a problem. So do your friends influence you toward Christ or away from Christ? Are you an influencer for Christ? Again, pray for them. Pray for them to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Number five, there may have to be a mind shift about the way you do things, and the way you do them and what you do. If your mind is, I am influencing people for Christ, then it will have an effect on the way you speak. It will have an effect on the way you act. Because you can't influence people for Christ without being Christ-like, right? Our speech and our actions have to be with that mindset. Do these people know Jesus? If they don't know Jesus, they're going to go to hell. And I will be responsible for not sharing. Okay? We have to change our mindset. If we're going to be a blessing that the Lord has told us to be, then we're going to have to change our mindsets. Everything you do, there needs to be an emphasis on moving them closer to Jesus. Pray with them as the occasion warrants. There will be times of grief and loss. There will be times of distress, pain, and there may be times when they are blessed. And every time you need to just kind of draw them to the Lord. Can you pray? Do you have the... a fellow called me the other day. I'm trying to influence for Christ. And he'll call me periodically, or I'll call him periodically. He's sort of somewhat new in town. And he always shares his troubles. So I asked him the other day, well, can I pray with you about any of that? He was not ready for that. Okay. And then he went off on something else. He didn't allow me to pray with him. But God brought him into my sphere of influence for a reason. Okay. And I know the reason. God brings people into your sphere of influence for a reason. And you need to know the reason. It's so that you can influence them for Christ. Pray with them. There's something that happens when you're able to pray with them. There's a God connection that begins that they may have never had before. And you may say, well, my prayers are not that effective. But as you pray with people, God does some amazing things in their lives. When you have the opportunity, pray with them. If you're not praying for them, you're not probably going to pray with them. Okay? So look for that opportunity to pray with them to make that God connection. First, you need to make the connection with them personally, and then look for an opportunity where you can help them make a God connection. When you're able, when they're really willing to listen, share with them what Jesus has done for you. Help them get that God connection. Help them to see how God has already connected with them and wanting to bless them and has blessed them. Some people are even ignorant about God's blessings that have already come upon them. Help them to see that. And when it's appropriate, invite them to church. When it's appropriate, invite them to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But this is you have to be conscious of the type of person you are building relationship with. Some people call them two types of people. Some are coconuts, which are hard shell. And they're hard to get to know because they kind of get this shell around them. You have to break that down. Other people, they call them peach and fuzzy. Peaches and fuzzies, you get to know them on a surface level, but they really don't let you go beyond that. And so you need to know the type of individual that you are ministering to, that you're trying to influence for Christ, so that you can pray for them. Say, pray for them. Pray for them that God will give you opportunity to break through that shell or get past the fuzzies. Okay. It's very important that we become a blessing and not just be blessed, but that we become a blessing. We can shut the blessings of God off. And one of the ways we do that is by not blessing other people. Okay. So you've got your communication card in your seat. And if the Lord has revealed to you someone that you're going to influence for Christ, would you just put their first name on that card? If not, would you say, I'm going to pray about who I'm to be a blessing to? I'm going to pray for the person I'm to influence for Christ, that he will show me who that is. So will you be intentional about influencing someone for Christ this year? Will you do that? It could be a child. It could be a grandparent. Or anyone in between. Will you? And I guarantee you, you will be blessed if you do this. The second thing I want to ask you as we're closing is, if you were to die today, what would be in your obituary? Do you ever read the obituaries? Usually they're, you know, this person likes fishing, likes hunting, likes camping, likes yarning or knitting or whatever. And some people like the other kind of yarning. But you don't really ever see if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's never mentioned, really. And I've had to do some very difficult services as a pastor. I had to preach a service for an atheist. I had to preach services for many people who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to try to encourage people and bring comfort to them when there's no assurance of that person being in heaven. So if you were to die today and they had to write your obituary, would there be any connection with you and Jesus in that obituary? That should be our life. That should be our life. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with His Son. And Scripture says the way we do that, we turn from our sin and we give our life to Him. Pretty simple. Sometimes it's hard because we don't want to give up things that we know is wrong. But that's the only way you can really embrace Christ. You can't have both. You either have the world or you have Jesus. You can't have both. So where are you today in your relationship with Christ? If you don't know Christ today, would you write on your card, "I want to talk to you, Pastor, about my relationship with Christ, and I will get in touch with you." And we're going to have a invitation. You may want to come here to the front. You may want to pray and open this for you. I'm not, again, I've got a cold and I don't want to give that to you. I will be praying for you at a distance. But if you need to talk to me, please put on a communication card and turn it in. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I just praise your holy name for what you're doing in our midst. And God, I want Gregory to come to know you as his personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that this church would not only receive your blessings, but be a blessing to others. And Lord, give us that one. Give us that one that we can influence for Christ. And every time they come to our mind, we can pray for them or we can go see them do something that would bring them to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.